Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ruth Barrows wrote, "Holiness has to do with very ordinary things." We thank you, Almighty God, for your great love of us, allowing us to have a taste of heaven in ordinary things and people we spend our lives. And so we pray that you will be with us this day to complete the work we must and to be free then to safely travel home for a weekend with those we love. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir.
Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Keviny, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nadler, Pierce, Pergeson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumacher, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Andrew, the quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 15th day, Wednesday, February 3rd, 2010. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Kinder in the chair.
Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though have been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are the opinion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests, the senator from Jasper.
To my left and your right, we have the Dade County Commission with us today. And I would ask that they rise and be made welcome.
We're delighted to have the guests of the senator from Jasper from Dade County. Let's welcome them.
Further introduction, Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your left and my right, we have the St. Francis County Commission. I know we're going to have a lot of commissioners here today, but these guys have been friends of mine for a long time. I've known Commissioner Brett Burgess since he was a little one, and Dr. David Cramp was the former superintendent of schools of Farmington I worked with when I was mayor, and now he's the presiding commissioner of St. Francis County, so if the body would make them feel welcome, I'd appreciate it.
Will the guests of the Senator of St. Francis please rise and be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Senator from St. Francis.
While I've got the mic, can I announce that the Maries County Corn King, Kermit Miller, has been given permission to photograph in the gallery here. It's KRCGTV. Thank you.
It shall be so noted. Further introduction, Senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, introduction of special guests. Due to the short-sightedness of the Senator from Jasper, one of his constituents, he forgot to mention, is a former colleague of the Missouri House of Representatives who served with the Senator from St. Clair, the Senator from Buchanan, and myself, former State Representative Billy Marshall.
Would the former State Representative be welcomed by the Missouri Senate? Thank you for coming back and visiting. Further introductions of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The senator from Cape was the first on his feet seeking recognition. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I am sending forward a Missouri First jobs plan package. We'd be happy to talk about each one as they come forward.
Please send your...
You tell the secretary I'll sign the copies once they're read. I forgot. I'm so sorry, Ms. Spiel.
Please send your non-completed bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 888, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to labor organizations.
Ms. President, this is right to work in the state of Missouri. Many times we have had individuals say that we need to treat our economic development tool basket with the same things as our competitive states. All of our competitive surrounding states, except for Illinois, are right to work, and this bill would enable Missouri to have that same tool in its toolbox. Thank you, Mr. President.
Please read the next bill.
Senate Bill 889, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the minimum wage.
Thank you, Mr. President, this bill would ensure that Missouri's minimum wage would never be higher than the national minimum wage.
Madam Secretary, please read the next bill.
Senate Bill 890, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to a moratorium on the authorization of certain tax credits.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I had the honor of testifying before the Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee today, this legislation, like making tax credits subject to the appropriations process, would bring a moratorium on low-income housing tax credits and the Missouri Development Finance Board's ability to issue tax credits in the state of Missouri upon its adoption. Currently, the Missouri State Auditor just revealed an audit in 2008 that said there is approximately a 35 cents on the dollar return on investment for the low-income housing tax credit. This places a moratorium on the issuance of those tax credits until we can come together as a House, a Senate, and executive to get a higher rate of return for taxpayers on the investment of that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, please read the final bill.
Senate Bill 891, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to certain tax credit programs.
President, this final bill is an exercise to just see what happens. As we heard today, we had many suits that testified against my bill in GAFO today to make tax credits subject to appropriations. And I don't know where the body's going to come out on that, but what I would like to see is how bad the General Assembly and the executive would like tax credits if the people that receive them can no longer make campaign contributions. So this bill would bar anyone that receives a tax credit in the state of Missouri from making a contribution to any committee that has to register with the FEC or the Missouri Ethics Commission. So we'll just see if it's tax credits or campaign contributions. So let's ban campaign contributions from those that receive tax credits. And Mr. President, with all of those put together in a press release that my office will issue now, this is Missouri's true Jobs First plan in Missouri First. And I hope that the senator from St. Louis will join me in bringing true economic opportunity to all Missourians and sign on to Right to Work. I look forward to that signature, Senator.
Further introduction of bills. The senator from the 14th was the first to...
Mr. President, I have two bills, please.
Please send your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 892, introduced by Senators Days and Schumeyer, an act relating to bail bond regulations.
Please read the second.
Required, Mr. President.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 893, introduced by Senator Days, an act relating to orders of protection.
No explanation necessary, Mr. President. Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. The senator from the 23rd was next seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Please send your bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 894, introduced by Senator Dempsey, an act relating to health coverage benefits to Medicare-eligible participants in the state employee health insurance program.
Senator, you care to explain?
Mr. President, this will save the state of Missouri $40 million a year without diminishing retiree benefits.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 895, introduced by Senator Dempsey et al., an act relating to science and innovation.
Senator?
OSIRA. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. The next person seeking recognition that has the highest seniority is the Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the Small Business Committee. I have a bill.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 896, introduced by Senator Shields, an act relating to a defined contribution plan for certain state employees.
Explanation, Senator?
Thank you. Mr. President, I don't normally give long explanations at introduction of bills, but just this may be one you actually hear about a little bit, so I want to eliminate any confusion. Right now, Missouri state employees, Mosier's is what they call a defined benefit retirement plan. So we put money in, but they, our state employees are guaranteed a benefit at the end of their, during their retirement. Most institutions have moved away from that to a defined contribution plan. I'm not trying to affect any current state employee that we have, but I'm setting a date certain in the future, January 1, 2011, that says all new state employees will go into a defined contribution plan instead of a defined benefit plan. So long term, I think that's where the state needs to be. But if you do get asked questions about this, this would affect no current state employees. So thank you.
Further explanation of bills. Senator from Andrew.
You have a bill.
Please send it forward.
Senate Bill 897, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to public service commissioners.
No explanation necessary, but let me just say what a fine job you're doing, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose you seek recognition?
Mr. President, introduction of special guest.
Seeking unanimous consent for introduction of special guest. Hearing none, you may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a rare occasion where I've got all six of my county commissioners here at one time, but I do today. I've got Art Ningalagi, Hubie Kleesner, and Dan Hampson from Warren County, and Ed Hillhouse, Terry Wilson, and Ann Schrader from Franklin County. I'd like for them to rise and for the body to make them welcome.
Will the guests of the senator from the 26th please rise, be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Thank you for visiting. We're back on the order of introduction of bills. The senator from the 31st, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Please send your two bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill 898, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to a sales tax for public safety improvement.
Go ahead with a.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very peculiar piece of legislation. This deals with the city of Peculiar and a sales tax proposal they have.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 899, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to the Missouri Promise Program.
Thank you, Mr. President. This deals with higher education.
Further introduction of bills. The senator from Boone.
I just want to make sure I shouldn't hesitate, make sure somebody doesn't have something else they need to, house cleaning matters maybe they need to do, but I do have a bill, and I'd like to send that up, and it requires no explanation, Mr. President.
You are recognized for that. Please read the read his first bill. The senator from Boone, the secretary, says that you are not ready to introduce this bill at this time, and it needs to be sent back.
Please, Mr. President, I'd appreciate it.
The bill shall be sent back. Further introduction of bills, the president has a bill to introduce. Madam Secretary, please read the bill, and no explanation is necessary.
Senate Bill 900. Introduced by Senator Roop, an act relating to the Missouri Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Act.
Further introduction of bills, the senator from the first for the purpose to seek recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send it forward, Senator.
Senate Bill 901, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to state purchasing.
Thank you, Mr. President. No explanation.
Senator from Howell, for what purpose is seeking recognition?
I seek unanimous permission to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over on my left and your right on the couch, I have county commissioners from the county of Howell. They include Larry Spence, Bill Lovelace, and Mark Collins. I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
Will the guests of the senator from Howell please rise to be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Thank you for visiting. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. With unanimous consent, I'd like to introduce two special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. I have two of the hardest working county commissioners in the state of Missouri. From Johnson County, from the eastern part of the county is Scott Sater, and from the western is Destry Huff.
Would the guests of the senator from Johnson please rise to be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. The senator from Dent, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Introductions of a special guest.
Senator from Dent seeking unanimous consent to introduce special guests. Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right and your left, on the side gallery over here, we have my intern, serving from Lincoln University, John Shepherds, who lives in Westphalia. He's a political science major and an economics minor. John, in 2005, had a hunting accident. And then in 2007, he went to started school at Westphalia. John's an inspiration to all of us that we, though we may face challenges in life, we can make as much of it as we individually desire. John is a very bright individual. He's a huge asset to our office, and I'd like for this body to make him feel welcome.
Would the guests of the senator from Dent please be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Thank you for visiting. We are on the order of introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, would you, could I inquire of you?
Yes, please state your inquiry.
Would you like to know what we're doing?
I would love to know what we're doing.
You're great. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to government appointments, governor appointments, and we're going to go to the reports of standing committees. For any chairman that has a report, please have it ready. And then it will be my intention to go to Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 586, if you want to pull that out. So right now, Mr. President, if you would... go from the reports.
The order of business is now reports from standing committees. Senator from Buchanan.
We are on the order of business of reports of standing committees. Senator from Franklin, do you have a report?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government has a report.
Send it forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government, to which was referred Senate Bill 753, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 670, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 669, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 668, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 628, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 581, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Griesheimer, Chairman.
Senator from Green, do you have a report?
Committee on Health, Families, and Seniors has a report.
Send your report forward, and Madam Secretary, read the report when it arrives.
Mr. President, your Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families, to which was referred Senate Bill 607, 602, 615, and 725, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Champion, Chairman.
Senator from the 8th. Just let us know when you're ready. We're good. Do you have a report? Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred Senate Bill 738, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Bartle, Chairman.
Senator from the 11th, do you have a report?
Mr. President, your Committee on Progress and Development has a report.
How could you be against progress and development? Send it forward. Secretary, read the report when it arrives.
Mr. President, your Committee on Progress and Development, to which was referred Senate Bill 596, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 22, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 649, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 804, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Callahan, Chairman.
Senator St. Francis, do you have a report?
Yes, Mr. President, I do. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has two reports.
Simple.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 618, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 604, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, shifting gears, we're going to wait on the government appointments until we hear from the governor on a couple more, and we're going to go right now to Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 586.
Senate Bills for Perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 586. Senator from the 8th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 586 and 617 be brought before the body for perfection.
You have heard the motion offered by the senator from the 8th. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is now before the body. Senator from the 8th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a Senate floor substitute that I would like to send forward.
Senator, could you please first move for adoption of the Senate bill?
I'll move for adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Thank you. Please send
sending
forward
your a Senate floor substitute.
Has it been distributed, Senator?
It has been distributed, and therefore I ask for a waiver of the reading.
The reading shall be waived. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to move adoption of the Senate floor substitute. Mr. President, this is the porn shop legislation, and it's legislation that's no doubt familiar to many in this body. In 2005, this body passed by a margin of, I think it was 27-7, very similar legislation. I know that we have a number of new senators that were not here then, and so this will be a relatively new subject matter to those senators. But it is an issue that's been a big issue for a lot of the citizens of our state. It's my journey here started in 2004 when I passed legislation that would restrict the ability of the smut shops to advertise on within a certain amount of distance on Missouri state highways. That legislation passed the House and the Senate, was signed into law by Governor Holden, I think was governor at the time, and was then challenged in court, as we knew it would be, because it was an issue of basically a first impression issue for the court system, because it was the first time that type of legislation had been passed. It was upheld at the federal district court level, but overturned at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. I followed in 2005 with legislation that would restrict the activities of sexually oriented businesses in the state of Missouri. That summer and fall, my staff put together research looking at
different restrictions that had been upheld by courts in other jurisdictions. Restrictions passed by local government in the form of ordinances or county ordinances or by other states. And we accumulated a number of ideas and put them together in one bill. That was Senate Bill 32. It did pass the Senate with a strong bipartisan majority. This is typically been a bipartisan issue, and I'm hopeful that it will be again today, and I think I'm reasonably certain it will be. I will very quickly walk you through what is in these two Senate bills, and I will tell you that there are two Senate bills here, 586 and also 617. One of them is offered by the senator from Lawrence. We put these two bills together into one. There were no real substantive changes or differences between the two bills. The first section is 573-525. It's the purpose clause and the legislative findings. It establishes and communicates that we are doing this to prevent negative secondary effects, and we're promoting the health and safety of our citizens. And we conclude in the purpose clause that adult businesses cause negative effects such as crime, prostitution, diminution of property value, and the like. A similar purpose clause, was upheld by the court in, I think it's I don't know what circuit it is, but the site is Excalibur Group versus City of Minneapolis. I think it's an Eighth Circuit case that's at 116 F3rd 12161220. And for those that are watching, and I think it's commendable, in the past, my legislation has run into some constitutional challenges, because anytime you are legislating in the area of sexually oriented businesses, you are legislating against a protected minority, a constitutionally protected activity, and they are very accustomed to defending their constitutional rights in federal court. And you know, I know that the members of this body are not interested in passing another bill that doesn't have a reasonable chance of withstanding the scrutiny of the court system. And as I stand here today, I am offering a bill that I think will withstand constitutional scrutiny. But I will tell you that, I know we may hear objections from owners of sexually oriented businesses suggesting that some of these restrictions are not, in fact, constitutional. There are close constitutional calls, and that's why we have the court system to make those close constitutional calls. I think there is a certainty that if we pass this legislation, it will be challenged. Most any time any legislature or any local government passes any kind of restriction on a sexually oriented business, they do respond by challenging it in court. But I have also some optimism. We've got a very able attorney over in the Attorney General's office, and I know that he will, with all the skill he has, defend whatever we would happen to pass and the governor of our state would happen to sign. But as I go through this, I'm going to very briefly give you the references for the court cases that provide us with some kind of, I won't say certainty, but lead us to the conclusion that we will not be leaving the Attorney General without legal argument in favor of our restrictions. The definition section in 573, 528, definition sections are hard to read, but they are important, and they are important in this bill as well. And you can go through and take a look at our definition section. One of the sites that is always, or one of the definitions that's always at issue in these cases, is the definition of nudity or state of nudity. And our definition of that is very similar to that was used by the Indiana by the Indiana legislature and governor, and was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in Barnes versus Glenn Theater at 501 U.S. 560 in 1991. The heart of the bill is in section 573-531, and these are the restrictions that we would be implementing inside adult businesses. First of all, we would be proposing that there be buffer zones of 1,000 feet around schools, churches, residences, parks. These buffer zones have been upheld by courts. In one such example is Renton versus Playtime Theaters, 475 U.S. 41. That was back in 1985. If you have a school or a church or a private residence or a park, these are not areas that should have smut shops around them. And if you were a owner of a home and you learned that a smut shop was going in nearby you, you would probably be troubled. I don't know of anybody in here that would have any desire whatsoever to live right next door to a smut shop. So that, I think, is a reasonable restriction that people will understand. It also bans convicts, prohibits those who have been convicted of certain crimes, which are sexual offenses or tax evasion, from owning an adult business. That, too, has been upheld by courts in federal courts, and I can get you the cites on this later because my list here doesn't coincide precisely with the citation list. It also bans full nudity in adult businesses. It sets stage requirements, requires the dancers be at least semi-nude, not fully nude, and remain on stage at least 6 feet from patrons in a room of at least 600 square feet. It also has a no-touching rule. No employee shall touch a customer. So it's basically banning a practice that is commonly referred to as lap dances. Restrictions on viewing rooms. It talks about how the businesses that show pornographic films have to have a manager posted with a direct line of sight into each viewing room. It requires businesses that don't meet the requirements listed in the bill to come in compliance within 6 months. It also includes an hours of operation. Business must close between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. There'll be no alcohol sold on these premises at all, and minors will not be allowed to be there. Section 573-534 includes a provision that you might look at and say, why is this in this bill? Well, you have to have a certain amount of what's called mens rea, which is the mental appropriate mental state in order to survive constitutional challenge. So this basically would provide that in order for a violation to occur under this statute, a person must have had requisite mental state of either knowingly or recklessly. The penalties provisions are in 573, 537. And in 573-540 is a section that I know is of importance to many of you, and it basically says this, that if there is a local ordinance that is more restrictive, that local ordinance will stay in place. If the local ordinance is less restrictive, this would preempt. So I know that's a matter of some concern to the people in this that serve in the legislature for good reason. Requiring dancers to wear a minimal amount of clothing is a proper content neutral restriction, according to the Supreme Court in City of Erie versus Paps AM at 529 U.S. 277. The Supreme Court has also commented about the ability to ban the sale of alcohol in these businesses Liquor Mart versus Rhode Island at 517 U.S. 5 or 484. I can probably cite maybe 15 or 20 different Supreme Court opinions on each of these sections, but if you have specific questions about any individual section and where we found our legal support for the restriction, I would be more than happy to share it with you. The platform, I will share this, the platform requirements in the bill come from an Eighth Circuit case. Missouri is a part of the Eighth Federal Circuit. Jakes versus City of Coates, 284 F. 3rd, 884 at page 891. The no-touch provisions have been upheld in Hang-On versus the City of Arlington, 65 F. 3rd, 1248. It's a Fifth Circuit case. And the Kitsap case at 793 F. 2nd at 1053. I know in the past, and I've said this to my colleagues, that I have perhaps reacted defensively to efforts to amend this bill, and I want you to know I don't intend to cast any aspersions. I realize that there is no bill that comes to this floor that is so sacrosanct that it should not face the perfection process. And I realize that there will be attempts to amend this bill, and I think it's perfectly within the right of any senator to amend any bill without being a fear that somebody will say that they are advancing the interest of this organization or that organization. And so with that, I throw this bill to the perfection process.
The senator from the 8th has moved for the perfection of Senate substitute, Senate committee substitute, Senate bill number 5, for adoption of Senate substitute, Senate committee substitute, Senate bill number 586. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? The senator from Lawrence, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for yielding, and thank you for your incredible leadership on this topic for years. I was able to work on it last session, and have been grateful for the chance to work with you on it this session. You have proven over a number of sessions your commitment to improving the safety of our neighborhoods and our communities against the dangerous secondary effects of these smut shop businesses. And I want to briefly touch on, I think, the secondary effects that we are trying to avoid with this legislation, and then I'll let you move on to the process of getting this passed, which I hope does happen quickly this session. But these are, you know, this is, when I started in the legislature, an issue that I watched people from more urban districts of this state deal with, and I watched you deal with it with some sympathy, but I had the luxury of thinking it's a topic that I'm not going to have firsthand concern with, because I come from a rural part of this state where I cannot imagine these businesses taking hold and popping up. And over the few years that I've worked in this body, I have seen that particularly across the main arteries of transportation through my district, we're getting a prevalence of these types of businesses. And I'm hearing from constituents that are unhappy about it. I'm unhappy about it. I'm the father of two boys that are 7 and 3, and I don't like the fact that when I drive them to their grandparents' house, we're passing one of these things at the exit where we get off. It's honestly embarrassing to take that exit with my name on the bumper sticker of my car. And anyone that sees me take that exit by that shop, I think, man, I hope they see me turn left and not right. But that's something that's become a reality in our district. And you have to answer the questions that your kids ask about what these places are. But the concerns that I have fundamentally about these establishments are what they bring into our districts by way of new threats. We are, I think you and I are both very committed to protecting the constitutional rights of all the people that we serve, and I think that we both agree the Bill of Rights is vital to keeping America the wonderful place that it is. But that's not, those protections don't extend to certain types of inappropriate speech or conduct. And the dangerous secondary effects that I'm concerned with are I think these establishments act as a magnet for sexual predators to come into our communities. And that's certainly not to say that everyone who enters these establishments is a sexual predator or will ever become one. But I also know that those who are sexual predators or who are predisposed to becoming sexual predators do have a documented proclivity toward frequenting these establishments. And as we've had citizen groups across our district watching these establishments, trying to find out as citizens what they can do to make these businesses maybe not want to stay in the district. And one of the things that these citizens have done is watch the clientele coming in and out. These are just private citizens who are concerned enough to dedicate their time and watch the license plates of the patrons of these establishments. And overwhelmingly, the license plates for the folks coming to these establishments are not local license plates. They're not Missouri license plates. They are, these things pop up on Highway 71 or I-44 or I-70 where there's a lot of foreign traffic coming through, and the patrons of these establishments are usually travelers who are counting on the anonymity of being far away from home. They're not people in these communities who want anyone to see that they would go to this place, and probably they wouldn't go to this place if it was in their neighborhood at home. And I think that we are, because of that, facing a very real force that is a magnet for the potential sexual predator who is not already within our community. And I think that that's a secondary effect that we have to be very mindful of. And as you've already said, the property value of any establishment or of any home or property near these establishments is certainly affected immediately. I just want to say thanks for the work that you've done. I think that you have worked very hard on coming up with a constitutional, well-measured, responsible attempt to solve a very real problem that threatens the children and the women of our communities. And as you said, we will see a constitutional challenge. We always do. But the fact that there may be a challenge doesn't mean that we should be afraid to act within the parameters of the Constitution. And I thank you for your leadership on this.
Thank you. Senator, two things. I just, your attention to the negative secondary effects are important. And I realize it's a debatable issue because the owners of sexually oriented businesses will cite studies that say there are no negative secondary effects. I provided the Senate Judiciary Committee with all sorts of materials, as I have year after year, that tend to establish the negative secondary effects. I would encourage anybody that has any doubts on that subject, talk to law enforcement. I heard a story even recently about the Missouri Department of Revenue about how one of these places was keeping two sets of books, one for the tax authorities and one that really reflected how the thing was for purpose of selling the business someday. And this is the kind of stuff that goes on in these businesses frequently. I think that the general public is firmly of the opinion, a majority of the general public is firmly of the opinion that these businesses do have negative secondary effects, that it is appropriate for government to restrict the rules under the Constitution. They establish a four-part test because it is an abridgment of a kind of constitutionally protected speech, so we have to be very careful how we do this. And that's why we have attempted, even though there may be many in this body that would like to see these businesses completely outlawed, me included, it is not possible to do that. So that when you restrict these businesses, you have to do it in a manner that conforms to the interpretation of the Constitution by the federal courts. And that's what we have attempted to do. And I will say this to my colleagues. I think everybody in here knows that I'm heading out of the legislature. I have no plans to run for anything else in the future. That may change somewhere down the line, but I am not doing this to create or further a political resume. I have worked on this from my very beginning of my days in the Senate because I feel like lives get destroyed because of the addictions that get manifested in places like this. I think it degrades women. I think it sends an absolutely awful signal to the young teenage boys about the role of women in their life, who they are. And I think these businesses are a blight on our state. And the fact that they've erected businesses like this all up and down the highways, and there it used to be that they understood that they needed to be discreet and they needed to locate in certain areas where the people who wanted to go could find them. They've not been content with doing that, so they've taken their businesses, their little metal buildings up and down I-70 and all the other roadways of our state. They've taken and built these signs that are on the absolute edge, trying to shock people, to get people's attention, and it's like their lack of discretion and their lack of paying attention to the sensibilities of everybody else has put enough pressure that people are saying, will you all do something about this? And so that's what this Senate bill attempts to do.
Thanks for your continued commitment to fighting that battle.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on a motion from the senator from the 8th for the adoption of the Senate substitute? Senator from the 10th, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator of the 8th, do you yield?
I do yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just had a quick question for you. This is the floor substitute, and I was in the committee for the Senate committee substitute. Can you tell me specifically what changed between the
Yes. There was, we had a reference in here in the section about, you know, the films that in the original file bill that made reference to the Motion Picture Association rating scheme.
Okay.
And there was testimony in the committee that the Motion Picture Association does not want to be in statutes. That's actually been a very consistent position of theirs, not just with regard to this bill, but I've heard it in the past in regard to other bills. That's a private rating system, and they were uncomfortable being basically are creating a statutory guideline that included their rating. And I think there is some merit to this because that's then placing a lot of discretion in the hands of people who are not elected, and it's, that rating system is, none of us know exactly how they establish those ratings. So our floor substitute just eliminates that language, and to my knowledge, those that testified are the person who testified on behalf of the Motion Picture Association. I did not hear objection this morning when I saw him.
Okay.
Now, it also, we thought that the language that the House had about the local ordinances, and I know this is a matter of concern to you, that the House language on that was better language. And so what we basically have done is taken the language of 573, 540 and used the House language. I can't tell you that there's any practical change from the Senate committee substitute and how it would operate, but I'm just telling you that we thought that the House bill's language was better there.
Okay.
But the standard is still the same, that we don't want to interrupt or thwart local ordinance. However, I mean, just, you know, to be completely clear, it will preempt local ordinance if local ordinance is not as strict as this is.
Understood. Well, thank you, Senator. That was the main question I had for you. As we discussed prior to session starting, I do have some concerns about my district in particular, and I'm going to be offering an amendment as we talked about, that's going to be addressing my district in particular. And I appreciate you giving me the information on the floor.
Not a problem.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward. Senator, has it been distributed?
It has not been distributed.
Okay. Madam Secretary, when the amendment arrives, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Justice to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 586 and 617, page 13, section 573.540, line 7 of said page, by inserting immediately after said line the following, quote, 3. Sections 573.525 to 573.537 shall not apply to any home rule city with more than 400,000 inhabitants and located in more than one county. Close quote.
Senator from the 10th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. What this does is essentially says that Kansas City would not, would be exempted out, would not be part of this statewide regulation. And I want to tell you why I'm doing that. I think that Kansas City has done an excellent job of regulating their own adult entertainment industry. They actually have a 27-page ordinance that regulates the adult entertainment industry in Kansas City. They have shown what other counties and cities have shown across the state, that it is possible to self-regulate on these issues. You know, when I first got elected to office and I came down here to Jefferson City, you start hearing a whole lot about this issue called local control. Local control, local control, local control. When I have suggested in the past that we need to pass regulations statewide that would affect, for instance, school districts statewide, we hear a lot from the local school districts saying, we can police ourselves, we can take care of ourselves. I have sat in Judiciary Committee hearings when the senator from the 9th has come forward with regulations relating to firing firearms in the state of Missouri, and that we should not be able to discharge firearms in celebration, which is a huge problem in Kansas City, Missouri. And when the senator from the 9th has brought those bills forward, she has been told by the Judiciary Committee that, you know what, if Kansas City does not want guns being discharged in celebration, then Kansas City should pass regulations that address that issue. But that regulation should not be forced to go statewide. And I feel like with this bill that it's a similar situation. If Kansas City would like to have adult businesses that are regulated within their borders, and they do have ordinances that regulate those businesses, they shouldn't have forced upon them statewide regulations because someone somewhere else in the state is interested in regulating their businesses. The other issue that I want to talk about beyond just local control is the issue of jobs. The number one thing that every one of us have on our minds right now is jobs, jobs, jobs. Everybody's saying it, regardless of party, regardless of where we are in the state. Right now, the adult entertainment industry actually has 3,000 people employed. And should these regulations pass, there's a very good chance that most, if not all, of those people will be out of work. I spoke with an adult business owner in my district this week, and he has 140 employees in the city of Kansas City, and that's just one guy. And he is convinced that if this bill passes, that those 140 people will lose their jobs. This is not the time to be cutting jobs in the state of Missouri. Right now, the adult entertainment industry generates about $80 million in Missouri revenue. That creates about $4.5 million in Missouri sales tax revenue. $4.5 million. We can't afford to turn that money away right now. And I have talked with the sponsors of this bill. I have talked with folks on both sides of this issue. And I have, as I mentioned, talked with the small business owners in my district who say, we can't afford this. This will put us out of business. And there has been some talk that there will be litigation after this is passed. I'm sure there will be. I mean, they will file the litigation, and both sides, the state of Missouri and the plaintiffs, will have to spend a lot of money on this litigation. And I would also argue that this is not the time to be spending that amount of money on litigation. The final thing I want to point out is that there are examples of counties who have, one of the things that I hear is, well, you know, every time we pass one of these local laws, the porn industry comes back and they fight it with litigation and then they win and the law is struck down as unconstitutional. Well, that's actually not true, because there are political subdivisions in this state who have passed comprehensive bills that have made a difference, that have been challenged in court, and then have stood up to constitutional review. And Jackson County is an example of that. Jackson County was faced with some nefarious businesses in their county. And they actually passed comprehensive legislation that ended up putting a couple of those folks out of business. And that legislation was challenged in court, and it stood up. They said it was constitutional. So Jackson County was able to pass regulations that put the bad guys out of business, let the stand-up folks stay in business, and it was upheld in court. Every single political subdivision in this state has the ability to do that. And so, to my colleagues, I would just say to you that while I understand your concern about some of the bad actors, I will say to you that this is not the time to be cutting jobs. This is not the time to be getting rid of a significant amount of sales tax revenue. And our local counties and cities can regulate themselves. There's no need for statewide regulations. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate substitute for Senate Bill 586. Senator from Buchanan was the first that I heard seeking recognition. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
Yes.
She does proceed.
Senator, first of all, I absolutely respect your view on the bill in total, but I, like you, I represent a fairly large portion of Kansas City in my senatorial district. And the question I've got is the request of the amendment to exempt out Kansas City, did any of the council members come to you with that request, or the mayor, or any of the leadership of Kansas City say, you know, we want to be exempted out of this bill?
No, Senator, they did not. I did this because I have small business owners in my district who have businesses that will go under if this legislation is passed. So I came up with the idea myself, and I would like to exempt my district.
I absolutely understand that, and not that every idea in this chamber has to come from somebody, and we have to get support and permission from the municipalities that we represent to promote an idea. But I was curious about that, and you know, I just would go as far as saying, you know, I've heard folks from Kansas City talk about being the cancer research center of, you know, really not just the Midwest, but the U.S. and potentially the world. I've heard talk in Kansas City about becoming the center of the animal life science corridor, which is extremely important. I just have not heard anybody in Kansas City saying we want to become known as the center of adult entertainment in the Midwest. And I think if your amendment were to go on, then I think not only would it serve the purpose of protecting those businesses that you seek to protect that are in your district and you have every right to protect them, but I also sense that the image of Kansas City quickly becomes the Las Vegas of the Midwest. And I don't know if that's exactly where, at least the portion of Kansas City that I represent, that my constituents want to go. So I would prefer your tack be fight the bill on the grounds that you've chosen to fight to protect, you know, based on First Amendment rights or whatever you choose to do, but to exempt out a city, I just think is not the right direction.
And Senator, I appreciate that, and I actually don't think that thought didn't cross my mind. The thing that I am confident about, though, is that the city of Kansas City has the ability to regulate these industries themselves. They've done it in the past, they can do it again, and they actually could enact regulations that would prevent any more adult entertainment businesses to come into the city at all. I mean, they have the ability to do that now, and I guess my point is, every municipality right now has the ability to do this. Every county has the ability to do this. Kansas City doesn't have to become known as the adult entertainment industry. I mean, there was fear, for instance, when the casinos started popping up, that we'd become the Las Vegas of the Midwest. It just hasn't happened. And I would argue that while I totally understand what you're saying, I think the city has the ability to pass these regulations to prevent an over-proliferation of additional businesses coming into their borders.
Well, thank you. And I, like I said, I just wanted to clarify were that this was your idea and not an idea that proposed by leadership in Kansas City. So I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you.
Senator from the 8th, what reason do you rise?
I'd like to briefly speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
First of all, I want to say about my colleague from the 10th that I very much appreciate the way we've been able to dialogue and interact on this bill so far. And I value her opinion very highly. We do, the senator from the 10th is so right in that we do speak a good game on local control, and yet many, many times we choose to thwart local control. And in full disclosure, this is not a bill that promotes local control, because it does take a measure of control out of the local jurisdiction. And I know that there are many instances in which we accept individual towns or certain parts of the state, but I don't see any valid reason for doing so here. I think the practical effect, the senator from Buchanan has identified it, put his finger right on it, it's going to be to make Kansas City the porn capital of the state of Missouri. And I represent Kansas City voters, very few, certainly not as many as the two senators who previously spoken. But what I know about Kansas City, having lived and worked there and around there for close to, 17, 18 years now, that's not what Kansas City is. That's not who we are. And I realize that there may be conventioners that come in and like to frequent these places, but that's not our community. I would also say about the job creation portion, there are any number of things that we could do here in the legislature to create jobs. We could loosen our environmental restrictions. We could loosen the restrictions that we have on cigarettes. We could even legalize drugs and instantly create all kinds of jobs. But long term, none of those things would get us where we're going as a people. The only way we're going to fix our job problem is by working on our education system. That's the only long-term solution for jobs. And I think the senator from the 10th is accurate. There will be businesses that are sexually oriented businesses that will choose to go out of business because of this bill. I think that's an undeniable consequence. Not all of them will. Many of them will continue to thrive under this provision. But the fact that there might be 140 jobs lost might, because that's a big question mark. People commonly come in with claims to us as legislators that if we do X or Y, catastrophic things will happen. And it's surmise at this point. But that is not, in my mind, sufficient reason to accept Kansas City or to defeat this bill. So I would ask my colleagues to defeat this proposal offered to us by the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 1st, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
I'm curious. The premise of your amendment is your argument for local control, which, you know, I certainly have stood and you know, discussed that issue over the years that I've served in the General Assembly. But, you know, there is an order of things as far as the creation of government. The people are sovereign. They created the state. And then the state created the local governments. If I'm not correct on that, I mean, please help me out, because the local governments are a creation of the state. And so I just hope that when we have an opportunity in the future looking at that order of things, and if we are going to be consistent, if we are going to talk about local control and where the powers and authority are delegated through the Missouri Constitution and our U.S. Constitution. We're going to have opportunity through the rest of this session to be debating bills on this floor that talk about the encroachment of a government at supposedly a higher level coming in and dictating to the citizens of Missouri how they'll live their lives and what laws they'll live under. So the idea that either the federal government, and this is the debate, if either the federal government has the authority to come into a state and direct our citizens, or if the state of Missouri has the authority to say to a local government that they've created that this is the laws that you'll be governed by, I mean, is very important to the structure of our republic. So I guess I'd ask, you know, what you think about, you know, consistency, you know, in your argument.
Well, Senator, we are today debating Senate bills number 586 and 617.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spoken with small business owners in my district, and they fear that they will be negatively impacted to the point of losing their businesses and putting people out of work if this passes. So I have offered an amendment that specifically addresses this issue. I'm not ready or interested to have a debate about anything else that's going to happen starting Monday and moving forward. Today we're debating these issues, and there's an amendment on the floor that would exempt out Kansas City, and that's the only thing that I really want to discuss today.
Fair enough. But you would agree that local governments are a creation of the state, and that we do it all the time. We pass laws down here that affect local government.
I really want to address this specific amendment only and not go down that line of inquiry today.
All right. Thank you for the inquiry.
Sorry. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 10th for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize closing your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, I would just like to reiterate that I feel that Kansas City has the ability, in fact, they have shown in the past, that they can regulate these businesses on their own. They could regulate these businesses out of existence if they want to. I have full faith that my city can do that. I have full faith that that we, as a community, can kind of fight off this fear that they'll become the porn capital of the Midwest or the state. I don't think that's a valid concern, although I have to admit that I did entertain that idea before I offered this amendment. And I offer this amendment because I do feel at the end of the day, what we need to do is not regulate all of these small businesses out of existence. We've heard a lot about protecting small businesses over the last 2 days. These are small businesses as well. And I just want to stand up and fight for those small businesses in my district. With that, Mr. President, I close.
The senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 586. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed?
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes have it. We are back on the bill. Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator from the 8th for the adoption of the Senate substitute? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on the substitute.
I close.
The senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute to Senate Bill 586. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute is adopted. Senator from the 8th, you need to recognize for closure on the bill.
Mr. President, I move that the bill be perfected.
The senator from the 8th has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute Senate Bill 586 be ordered perfected and printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, do you recognize the close?
I renew my motion.
Senator from the 8th has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 586 be ordered perfected and printed. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed?
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered, perfected, and printed. The senator from St. Francois. Oh, there he is. Senator from St. Francis. We do.
Would you have those read in?
They shall be read. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from His Excellency.
February 4th, 2010, to the Senate of the 95th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointments to office made and submitted to you for your advice and consent. Susan Ponder Bates, Democrat, 3096 Brookstone Road, Festus, Jefferson County, Missouri, 63028, as a member of the Hazardous Waste Management Commission for a term ending April 3, 2013, and until her successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Patrick Gleason, term expired. Patrick Nager, 1083 PCR 906, Perryville, Perry County, Missouri, 63775, as a member of the Missouri Consolidated Healthcare Plan Board of Trustees for a term ending December 31st, 2013, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice David Sissel, withdrawn. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator Buchanan, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Where are we at, if you could tell me on those things, and what would you like to do? Because I tell you what, I was so happy, because my only appointment on the 10 pages, he almost didn't withdraw so that he could reappoint her. Tell you the truth, I don't really know her, but I was happy to have an appointment, so I hope he reappoints her.
Well, you don't have an appointment at this point, so we're up. I'm going to ask the Secretary of the Senate to send those back to the governor. Those now
they shall be sent back.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm inquiring.
Yes.
I have one other issue I'm trying to resolve. I may need just a couple minutes of recess to do that.
All right. Would you like to refer bills first and then recess?
Mr. President.
Senator Buchanan.
Those two withdrawals, send those back down to the Secretary.
They shall be sent back. Nope. Okay. Senator Buchanan, may I inquire of you?
Oh, versus my just unilaterally doing it, you'd like a motion to do that?
Yes, she would.
Oh, well, so moved. So.
Okay.
That those senator, be returned to the governor.
The Senator Buchanan has moved that the two gubernatorial appointments be sent back to the governor. Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator Buchanan, be recognized to close your motion.
Thank you. Didn't mean to, go over my power limit there, so I would close on that motion.
Senator Buchanan is closed on his motion. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion is carried. The appointments will be sent back. Senator Buchanan.
Temporarily stand at ease.
We shall stand at ease. Senator from Buchanan.
I am ready.
We will bring the Senate back into session.
Mr. President, can I inquire of the Senator from St. Francis?
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
We have a message from the governor that needs to be read in.
Yes.
And I need to make a motion. And then we need to go to the order of business and reports of standing committees.
Okay. Thank you. You done? Mr. President, do we have messages from the governor that need to be read
in?
Yes,
we do.
Could you have those read in?
They will be read. Madam Secretary, please read the message.
February 4th, 2010, to the Senate of the 95th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointments to office made and submitted to you for your advice and consent. David Zimmerman, Democrat, number 5 River Cove, Crystal City, Jefferson County, Missouri, 63019, as a member of the Air Conservation Commission for a term ending October 13, 2012, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Mark A. Foy, withdrawn. Jack Baker, Democrat, Rural Route 1, Box 259, Butler, Bates County, Missouri, 64730, as a member of the Air Conservation Commission for a term ending October 14, 2013, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified, vice reappointed to a full term. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator Buchanan.
I would move that those appointees be returned to the governor.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator from Buchanan? Senator from St. Francis.
Inquire briefly, our
Senator Buchanan,
if I could do that, Phil.
Do you yield? He does.
This one I wasn't aware about. The other one I was. Is this just temporary so that this couple senators can talk to these people? Is that what I'm hearing now?
Yes.
Oh, and then we have to withdraw them rather than holding
them. They have to be withdrawn because we're in that 30-day window.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Does any other senator desire to be heard in the motion from Senator Buchanan? Seeing none, Senator, do you recognize to close?
I close.
Senator Buchanan has renewed his motion for the withdrawal of two gubernatorial appointments. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is carried. Senator from St. Francis.
I guess we're going to go to government appointments. Is that what we're going to do now? Reports from standing committees, is that what we're ready for? Go ahead. Reports, if you'll take us to reports from standing committees and recognize Senator from Buchanan.
Reports from standing committees, Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you. I have a report from your gubernatorial appointments committee.
Please
send. I send that forward, Madam Secretary, the two that we just talked about are in that pile. You will grab them out of there.
Send your report forward, Senator.
Okay. Would ask for a waiver of the reading of the report, would ask unanimous consent to take all the appointments in that batch in one motion. This is your list with the exception of the two that we just sent back on the Air Quality Control Commission.
Senator Buchanan has asked for a waiver of the reading of the report and also that all appointments be considered in one motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, the motion is carried.
Actually, I move now for the adoption of the committee report.
Senator Buchanan has moved the adoption of the committee report. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator Buchanan has renewed his motion for the adoption of the committee report. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is adopted. Senator from St. Francois.
I think we'll go, Mr. President, without objection. You have something still? Could I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator Buchanan, do you yield?
What do we got?
What we have briefly is we need...
Hang on a second. Yes. Sorry, please turn your cell phones off or on vibrate when you're in chamber.
We need to, I need to do a referral to government accountability and fiscal oversight. Okay, then if you'd like to do announcements, and then I have second readings.
Okay.
So, Mr. President.
Senator Buchanan.
Would you please refer the fiscal oversight substitute Senate Bill 618 to government accountability and fiscal oversight.
It will be so referred, Senator. The bill will be so referred, Senator.
And it's a big one, too.
Okay, Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, could we go to the order bill, a business of introduction of bills, because there's a couple requests to introduce a couple, and then we'll go to announcements. If they're not ready, we'll move on.
We are introduction of bills.
I don't see any ready, so let's move on.
Okay.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. The chair has an announcement. The working group on telecommunications access rate reform will meet immediately upon adjournment in the Senate lounge to finalize the bill or the recommendations. Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will go to bills for second reading. Senator.
Senate bills on second reading. Senator from Buchanan.
We are on Senate bills for second reading. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, then we will get started. Senate Bill 848.
Senate Bill 848, an act relating to methane from agricultural operations.
Let's send that one to agriculture. Senate Bill 849.
Senate Bill 849, an act relating to emergency services.
I'm thinking jobs. Senate Bill 850.
Senate Bill 850, an act relating to sewer service for certain annexed areas.
Jobs as well. Senate Bill 851.
Senate Bill 851, an act relating to public notice required for certain meetings of political subdivisions.
Jobs. Senate Bill 852.
Senate Bill 852, an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices in employment.
Senate Bill 853.
Senate Bill 853, an act relating to disposition of unclaimed seized property.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 854.
Senate Bill 854, an act relating to the disclosure of police officer identity and investigative reports.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 855.
Senate Bill 855, an act relating to heritage, birth, or marriage certificates.
Health. Senate Bill 856.
Senate Bill 856, an act relating to persistent misdemeanor offenders.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 857.
Senate Bill 857, an act relating to dangerous felonies.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 858.
Senate Bill 858, an act relating to the crime of failing to return to confinement.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 859.
Senate Bill 859, an act relating to crimes of assault.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 860.
Senate Bill 860, an act relating to ad valorem property sales. Property tax rates.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 861.
Senate Bill 861, an act relating to the accreditation of vascular laboratories.
Health. Senate Bill 862.
Senate Bill 862, an act relating to a local sales tax for the promotion of tourism.
Jobs. Senate Bill 863.
Senate Bill 863, an act relating to the imposition of a transient guest tax by certain cities.
Jobs. Senate Bill 864.
Senate Bill 864, an act relating to the use of automated traffic enforcement systems by political subdivisions.
Transportation. Senate Bill 865.
Senate Bill 865, an act relating to parenting coordinators.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 866.
Senate Bill 866, an act relating to hospital patient safety.
Health. Senate Bill 867.
Senate Bill 867, an act relating to statutory liens against real estate.
General Law. Senate Bill 868.
Senate Bill 868, an act relating to tax incentives for data storage and server farm facilities.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 869.
Senate Bill 869, an act relating to the Vehicle Safety Inspection Program.
Transportation. Senate Bill 870.
Senate Bill 870, an act relating to conservation easements.
Agriculture. Senate Bill 871.
Senate Bill 871, an act relating to county purchases.
Jobs. Senate Bill 872.
Senate Bill 872, an act relating to gift certificates.
Commerce. Senate Bill 873.
Senate Bill 873, an act relating to the Missouri Film Commission.
Commerce. Senate Bill 874.
Senate Bill 874, an act relating to sewer districts.
Jobs. Senate Bill 875.
Senate Bill 875, an act relating to minimum wage law.
Small business. Senate Bill 876.
Senate Bill 876, an act relating to the Missouri Military Family Relief Fund.
Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 877.
Senate Bill 877, an act relating to child support.
General Laws. Senate Bill 878.
Senate Bill 878, an act relating to a debt set off for unpaid health care expenses.
Health. Senate Bill 879.
Senate Bill 879, an act relating to offender substance and alcohol abuse treatment.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 880.
Senate Bill 880, an act relating to intoxication relating traffic offenses.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 881.
Senate Bill 881, an act relating to political subdivisions.
Jobs, Senate Bill 882.
Senate Bill 882, an act relating to the Ethics Commission.
Rules, Senate Bill 883.
Senate Bill 883, an act relating to license taxes imposed by certain cities.
Jobs, Senate Bill 884.
Senate Bill 884, an act relating to the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement.
Commerce, Senate Bill 885.
Senate Bill 885, an act relating to motor fuel training and equipment.
Commerce, Senate Bill 886.
Senate Bill 886, an act relating to plumbing codes.
Jobs, Senate Bill 887.
Senate Bill 887, an act relating to the designation of controlled substances.
Judiciary, Senate Joint Resolution Number 40.
Senate Joint Resolution 40, an act relating to guaranteeing the right to vote by secret ballot.
Small Business, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 42.
Senate Joint Resolution 42, a resolution relating to the protection of economic freedom.
General laws.
Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the body, I move the Senate stand adjourned until Monday, February 8th at 4 p.m.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from St. Francis. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed, we are adjourned.